Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hi, and welcome to the Thrive With Me 2023 Time Management Summit. My name is Marnie Swedberg. I'm your host, and I'm super excited to have you with us here. And you are in for an amazing afternoon of just blowing your mind with some fun and some maybe even new to you concepts of time management strategies that can help you get more done. And all of this is based on biblical principles, on God-honoring ways to go about your time management. And the reason for that is because when God is in control of your time, there is absolutely time to do everything God wants you to do. So I always say there's not time to do everything. There's not time to do everything good. There's not time to do everything everybody else wants me to do. There's not even time to do everything I might think I want to do. But because God is God, there is absolutely time to do everything God wants you to do. And in this, there is so much peace and comfort. So as we go forward, remember that God is the master of time management. You know, he said it was going to be 400 years after he gave Abraham the promise before he would come and take the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said it was going to be 400 years of silence before Jesus would come as the Messiah. He's way into the big numbers that are way longer than our life. And then he's into the micromanagement where he cares if you lose your keys. He cares if you get lost. I remember one day I was supposed to be two places at once and I was frantic. I was supposed to be at our restaurant and at our retail store at the same time for meeting with vendors. And I couldn't do anything about it. I mean, I can only be in one place at one time, right? And I was running to my car because I was so frantic to get to the other place. And as I got to my vehicle, before I could grab the handle, my feet, I was on ice in northern Minnesota, and my feet went right out from under me. And I found myself flat on the ground looking up. And I remember just saying, well, you got my attention now. And you know what? Sometimes we can just push so hard. We can try to be doing more than God wants us to do. We need his help, and sometimes we don't ask for it. So as we go forward, strategy number one is to breathe the air of prayer. So these are my 10 favorite strategies at the moment. So the first one is breathe the air of prayer. And the analogy I want to give you here is like a dolphin. So the dolphin is a water dweller, but an air breather. So every few minutes, like less than five, every few minutes, the dolphin has to surface and go up for air, or it begins to literally suffocate. It's feeling the pressure, the stress of needing oxygen. So it just finds its way to the surface, takes a deep breath, and goes back down. Now you, my friend, you were created by God to be an earth dweller, but a prayer breather. And so what happens is if you haven't checked in with God recently, you're going to begin to feel like you're suffocating, like you can't breathe. You're going to feel stress. And when it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, what he's saying here is you don't have to be constantly saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus your whole day long. Although some days I feel like that is what I do all day long. But what you do need to do is you do need to recognize that anytime you feel anxiety, stress, tension, a sense of fear, a sense of overwhelm, whatever your big emotion is there, that is when Jesus is standing at your heart's door and he's knocking and he's saying, may I come in and talk to you about this from my perspective? And when we say the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, he's reminding us with that every day, that Lord's Prayer, he's reminding us that he is sitting in heaven with the perfect perspective, as well as the perfect ability and power to help us with our day. So my first favorite strategy for you is breathe the air of prayer. Anytime you feel anxiety or stress, go straight up, ask God to talk to you about it from his perspective. And guess what? When you come back down to earth to keep going forward, you are going to be so much more productive than when you just were under stress and not getting anything done because you're spinning your wheels or freaking out. Okay, number two, let's talk about goals. Goals are a specific thing that you set up that you say, this is what I want to get accomplished and this is what I want to get done. All right. And so when you set up goals, it is wonderful to have goals and you should have goals. even everybody in the Bible had goals. I mean, it's like you get up, you're going to go, you know, harvest the corn today, or you're going to do this, that, or the other. It's nothing new under the sun. We just do it in a different way in our technology era that we're living in right now. But what I want to remind you is that when you have goals, sometimes what happens is that the goal becomes the God. And all you can see is the goal. Remember to keep the goals in front of you, but also to be able to see everything else that's going on. So have God be the center of your vision, the goal be present in your vision, and move forward with Jesus. If the goal becomes the mini God, that's a problem. I always say with goals, there's a gestation period for everything that God puts in your heart to do. The challenge is you don't always know what that gestation period is. So you may have the goal to accomplish this particular thing, and you think it's going to be done in so many days or weeks or months or years. Well, God may have a different idea. You know, when it comes to babies, you know, you've got little rabbits, they take 33 days. You've got a human baby, that takes 9 months. You've got an Asian elephant, that takes 610 days. You have these gestation periods. You know, if it's an elm or an oak tree, you've got 70 years before it's fully grown. You don't know what the gestation period is on some of your goals. Now, some of them you can set in the morning, that by noon you have to have the kitchen clean and a meal made for guests that are coming. That's a goal you can put a time on. You know when that's going to end. Some of the things that God puts in your heart aren't going to be so easy to lock into a specific time. So just hold that with an open hand. And I always say, I love this open hand thing. So if you do this with me right now, I want you to put your hand up. And now I want you to clench it into a fist as tight as you can. Clench that hand down. And it doesn't take very many, if you're holding it really tight, it doesn't take very many seconds before this starts to really hurt. My nails are digging into my palm. It's very uncomfortable and it will go into a cramp without very much more time. When we hold our goals and the date that they're due in a clamped hand like this, a lot of times it's undue pressure that God did not intend us to experience. So remember to hold your goals and the date of their achievement in an open hand up to God and trust him that if it was his idea in the first place, which if it wasn't his idea, why are you doing it? That's what I'm going to ask you. But if it was his idea in the first place, don't worry about the timing. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen. And that kind of leads us into number three is mission, vision, and parameters. So over at the mentorship program at marnie.com, I've got serious trainings on these so that you can really nail this down. But if you don't know what God's calling you to do, if you don't know your mission or your vision, and you haven't set parameters, and parameters are like when I work with the speakers over at womenspeakers.com, I say, okay, how many engagements are you going to take? Like, are you going to take every single engagement that comes until your calendar is full up? Are you going to block off so that you have 2 weekends a month at home? How are you going to make these decisions? And even like, what kind of events are you going to go to? Like, for example, I don't go teach at events with children because my analogies just go right over the top of their heads. So, you have to decide what you're going to do as a parameter. Of course, God can always make a change in that. He can always move you around and do different things. But as a set standard, you need to have parameters set so you know when to say yes, when to say no, how to make decisions on a general everyday basis. And then if God wants your attention, you know, God can get our attention anytime. For example, I have a parameter that I live at a certain address in Florida now. And I know when I'm ready to go home, I know where to drive because I've set the parameter of this address as my home base. Now, does that mean I never leave home? No, I leave home all the time. Does that mean I never travel? No, I travel. But I know where home is. That's what a parameter is. It's like a basic structure around your time that's going to help you to know when to say yes and when to say no on a general basis. And then you make exceptions from there. Mission and vision. These are more like the global response that this is why I exist. This is what I'm here to do. And this is how I'm going to go about it. So for me, my mission and vision, I exist to encourage women, provide them with practical help and turn their thoughts toward Jesus through my writing, speaking, and online appearances. So that's just who I am and what I do. And so once you have your mission and vision, then you can set parameters. And then as you're going through life, it's not so complex all the time. And one of the things that we're talking about in time management is simplifying. Keep on simplifying. Set up systems. Like if you had to get up every morning and just decide what in the world you were going to do with the day, like you didn't have a system for brushing your teeth, or you didn't have all your bathroom supplies together in the bathroom. When you travel, you kind of experience this. You have to, you know, you don't have your clothes in the same drawers as usual or set up the same way. You experience more intensity in the mental processing part because things aren't set up routinely. But if you have your kitchen organized, for example, where you know where the spices are, maybe they're even in alphabetical order or whatever, once you systemize things, it just gets so much easier. And God has gifted us with this. Habits are huge. We're not going to talk about habits, but habits are one of my favorite. We'll put it number 11. Habits are great because they do simplify everything. Building a habit around anything is going to simplify your life. All right, so let's go on to number 4, which is pray, plan, and prioritize. You need to book in time to pray, to get alone with God. I call it rest. You need to book in time for rest. And even the air of prayer, if you would, that is a time of rest where you're taking a deep breath. Just letting the stress go to Jesus. I'm saying, please just talk to me about this from your perspective. So what I do in my own life is I take an entire day of rest every week, just like the biblical model. God took a day of rest after he created the world as a model for us. I'm not sure if he actually needed one or if he just wanted to show us that he was even going to do it because he thought it was so important for us to understand how much we needed it. So a day of rest per week. And I'll tell you what, it's hard. You have to work hard to rest. And it even says that in Hebrews, strive to rest. So you have to make a commitment there. And then also rest times during the day. You need to get enough sleep at night. You need to take breaks during the day. So you just don't get up in the morning and run full pell mell all out all day long. The body really wasn't built for that. And that will cause you dis-ease. Instead, remember that there's time to do everything God wants you to do and function with ease. So that's the difference between letting God flow through you and trying to do it on your own. I always use the analogy of the straw. So some people think that as a Christian, we are supposed to be available for everybody and let them just drink out of our lives. And then we use phrases like, I'm dry. I don't have anything left. You sucked me dry. I'm out of gas. You know, we use phrases like that. But the reality is, we aren't actually supposed to be providing anybody with anything. It's supposed to be in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And as people come into our lives, we are the straw. And as we are submerged into God, as we spend time with him, as we allow him to flow through our lives, we are the straw. And when they suck on our lives, they get Jesus. When I am not submerged in Christ, when I'm submerged in myself, in my anxiety, and my time pressure, in whatever it is, my goals, my dreams, when I am outside of being submerged in God, what happens is when they suck on my life, they actually get me. And then I do run out. I run out really pretty fast. Patience, kindness, whatever it is, I run out pretty fast. But when submerged in Christ, it's amazing how far we can go, so much farther, because it isn't us, it's Christ in us, right? That whole theology comes and makes sense. And so you have to have time to pray and then to plan and prioritize with God. So a day, a week of rest, I really, biblically, it calls for it. And I highly recommend it. And then rest each day, good sleep at night as best you can, as well as rest times in the day. And then I also do a mini retreat every week, pretty much every week, where I get away with God and just, I don't take a computer or anything. I just take a journal and I get away with God and do a mini retreat. I also have a little timer that I keep next to my desk. And when I'm not doing a live interview like this or in a meeting, I set that for 20 minutes at a time. You would need to come up with your own number. And that's kind of like time blocking. We'll address that in a few minutes, but anything you can do to time block and to remember Jesus. So when my little timer goes off after 20 minutes, I usually just say something like, hi, how are we doing? You know, it's just like checking in. Am I still on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? Am I wasting my time? Should I move on? Is there something else I need to do right now? And it just breaks the day up into little breath points where you can rest a bit during the day as well. And then, of course, the air of prayer, where you take a prayer break every time you feel any kind of anxiety or big emotion. So those are just ways. That's the prayer part. And then the plan and prioritize. This is when I go on my mini retreats, especially with God, which is anywhere from 1 hour to 5 hours, that I just go and sit somewhere else in a library or wherever I can find a quiet place outside of my normal surroundings and where people can't reach me. I just, in my journal, I just write and I just ask God, what do we want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? And I have my phone with me so I can look passages up in the Bible, or I can even do a little research right then, but it's not phone time. The only research I do during those typically is going to be to just follow up on a thought process God puts in my head. And I will follow up a little bit on my phone, but typically it's just me, my notebook, and God, just journaling. And this is the times when I plan and prioritize. When I started doing that, it radically increased my productivity. When I say I'm just going to do a whole thing at, I'm going to do a whole course at udemy.com coming up on time management from God's perspective. And I'm going to go way into this, but right here, I just want to give you just kind of an awareness that when I do life without a God in the moments, like him flowing it through me, instead of me doing it to please him or something separate from him or outside of his flow through me. When I do it that way, it's hard. It feels impossible. I don't seem to have enough. I can't get enough. I'm not enough. And it just, I can't do it. I feel like I can't do it. And how many of you have ever had those emotions before? Well, what we come to understand then as a believer is that literally, if we want things to have an eternal result, more than just what they're going to accomplish in the minute, if we want them to have an eternal result, we actually have to do it with God, or it's not going to happen. I mean, I can do this presentation for you right now in my own strength and give you whatever I can give you. And that's one level of assistance for you. Okay. People do it all the time, right? Or I can let God flow through me as I'm doing this presentation for you, and it will have an eternal result. It will have an eternal effect on your life and what you do going forward. It will affect your heart and not just your mind. It will affect your schedule, but it will affect your relationship with God first. And so as I came to understand that these feelings that I was having of it being too hard or it's feeling impossible to do, these are great. Whenever I feel that way, I'm like, oh, I must be trying to do it on my own. Because when God does it through me, it is possible. It is done with ease. There's plenty. And it's already done. It's like, it's not that I can't do it. It's done from God's perspective. It is already done because he's pouring it through me. And so I just get to do it with him and share that with you. It's a completely different experience. So just plan, pray. So pray, plan, and prioritize. Set aside times alone with God, and you are going to find that your productivity, and I don't even know if it's productivity so much. You know, we are supposed to be the branches attached to the vine, right? Attached to God. He is the vine. We are the branches. And then the fruit grows off of the branch. So how much work really does the branch do to produce the fruit, right? If you think about a baby in my belly, you know, I have three adult children now, but at one point, each of them was a baby in my belly. Was I all in there weaving them together? No, I was just like the carrier. Well, now, was it work to be the carrier? Yeah, actually it was. But was I doing the work of producing the child? Are we doing the work of producing spiritual fruit? Or are we to be with ease being the fruit holder and letting God do the work of it? It's such a huge difference in how it feels and the longevity of the event. 1 Corinthians 13 starts with this. Okay, so if I give my body to be burned and if I sell everything I have to feed the poor, but I do it without God's agape love is what that actually says, without God doing it through me, it accomplishes nothing. So it feeds the poor right in this moment. It shows someone I love them or maybe even saves their life while I die in this moment, but it has no eternal reward. So as we do this, letting Christ flow through us, we have this amazing opportunity to reap eternal reward for everything that we do here on earth. Wow. I mean, there's just nothing to compare with it. So take time to pray, to plan, and to prioritize with God, and then go forward. Number five is delegation. One of the things that I have always taught my teams is that I will do what only I can do. I'm willing to do anything they have to do. And usually I make sure that I learn how to do everything they have to do, not to the finest degree. Like, for example, I'm not going to become an accountant just so I know what she's doing, my accountant is doing, but I know the basics of it. I mean, I run my own financial system, and then she does the taxes at the end of the year. You have to decide how far down you're going to go with that. But as a leader, I like to know what's going on, especially of small businesses. I like to know what's going on. I like to know how to do it. I like to do it with excellence myself. And then I like to train and pass the baton. Delegation requires you to admit that someone else can do it. It also requires you to be more dependent on God for the finances to pay someone to do it, or for the time to manage someone to do it, even if they are a volunteer. It takes a little bit more faith because you're not doing it yourself. And even though you already know that you could make mistakes, and you do make mistakes, when you're training someone, they're going to make more mistakes. They are. They're going to make mistakes. And you're going to have to deal with that. And that increases your patience. And that takes you back to, you know, if it's God's thing, it's going to go. So you just have to, you know, all of this is hard. It's hard to delegate, but it's harder when it's time to delegate and you don't. That's harder, because that is you doing work that God did not intend you to do. So remember, there's time to do everything God wants us to do. But when we start overstepping that, then we get into a stress situation where we're doing too much because we aren't delegating. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that you're hearing this with your heart, not just your ears, because it is difficult to delegate and it does take time to train. One of the things I love to do is find outsourcers to help me at Upwork. I do sometimes use Fiverr, but I love Upwork. I've been with Upwork for, man, probably a decade. And I've hired hundreds of outsourcers to do everything from book cover design to marketing to editing. I mean, you name it, and they've helped me with it. So the people at Upwork are great. There's every price range from literally from $4 an hour all the way up to $400 an hour. I mean, you can find anything you're looking for there, and you can find good people. I am hoping to do a Udemy course on using Upwork later this year. And you keep hearing me say this because I'm making a transition. All of these programs are in Marnie.com. And we're making a transition to making them public, and then have the members of Marnie, the mentorship program at Marnie.com, get the free passes over to the external programs. So that's just where God's taking me right now. But anyway, Upwork is a fantastic place to find anything you need that you need to have delegated. And the key there is, and now we're going to talk about systems just a little bit. The key is to be able to do a screen share tutorial. So you know how to do something, you're looking for someone to take it over. And so what you need to do is you need to do it while your screen recorder is on. And then you send that tutorial to the person. You have them do one or five, whatever kind of thing it is. You have them do a few samples. You very closely check the samples and make sure they're doing it right. Then you give them a bunch more and then check like one out of 10. And then you give them a bunch more. Now you check one out of 25 like that. And you go forward like that. So when you are bringing someone in, when you're delegating, don't just pass it to them and walk away. That's a really terrible way to be a leader. Make sure that you give them enough help so they know exactly what they're supposed to do. And then you check up on them. And then you also hold them accountable. So I really like Upwork because they actually, I have all my team always clocks in. And it just takes screenshots of their computer randomly every little while. And so I'm able to see what they're really working on when they're on the clock. It makes me feel makes me feel safer. Like, I know before they had that, sometimes I would wonder, I don't think that it could really take that long. But sometimes, especially if they're international, it does take longer because their internet connection is slower or something like that. So just a lot of grace and a lot of patience. Again, it's building you as a leader to delegate. But if you do it wisely and if you do it well, then you will be able to really have a lot of help. So I encourage you to delegate whenever that makes sense. Number six is more master systems. So delegation requires a system that has you create tutorial videos that show them exactly what to do step by step and exactly what the exceptions are. If you don't do that, it won't work. Okay, it's just going to be you banging your head against the wall trying to get somebody trained in. So just do the tutorial videos and make sure they include the different things that are needed. Now, going forward, other master systems, number six, master systems. For me, my entire team at Gifts of Encouragement uses the same email box. We use the viamarnie@gmail.com email box. And when stuff comes in, whoever is there at the time sorts into my bin, into Lauren's bin, into Sydney's bin, into everybody's bin. I mean, everybody has their own bin. And then what happens with that is we're able to, when somebody asks for help, and now let's say Lauren's logged off for the day, but I see it, now I can just put that email in. I can see the previous conversation and I can respond in the moment. So this is one of the ways my team really saves a lot of time instead of having to wait for the original person to get back in the office or if they're taking a vacation or whatever, we're able to just move forward. Whoever's available at their time to check the box, it goes ahead and moves forward with everything they can because the information is all there. Of course, if it's a complex thing, then we do wait for the specialist to come back and then handle it. But a lot of times, it isn't. A lot of times it's a simple ask and the person would have had to wait even up to 24 hours if they just barely missed the logout, you know. So it really does help to just have a shared email and that's worked for me really well. Again, a shared calendar, same kind of thing. So my scheduling tool links into it and can tell when something's booked out. My team can look at it. They can put a meeting on if they need something. You know, everything is very clear. It's we don't have to talk about every little thing because it's systematized. And so that's what I encourage you to do. Also, Google Drive's just amazing gift in our age now, right now, where we can have these shared Word docs and shared Excel files and, you know, shared folders for photos and Canva, you know, I mean, all of these things, when you do them by yourself, you know it all in your head. But when you start bringing in a team or people to help you, then you kind of need systems. And that's what this time-saving strategy is about getting systems in place that are really going to help you to be the most productive you can while helping you to delegate everything that you should be delegating. So that's systems. Number seven, batching. This is one of my favorite strategies. And I'm going to give you two analogies of batching. So the first one is cookies. If you are going to make a batch of cookies, you would never just try to make one cookie from scratch. First of all, you can't divide the egg down that small, right? So you really need to do it a bunch at a time, a batch at a time. And then you can maybe even freeze the cookie dough and slice it up later for individual cookies. But when you're making cookie dough from scratch, you have to make a whole batch. When you put gas in your car, it would be foolish to just put 1 gallon in at a time because then just a couple minutes later, you're going to have to pull off again and put more gas in. So what you do is you batch it. You put all the gas in until your tank is full or until you run out of money, and then you start driving again. Now, we don't tend to do this consistently in our work life, in our home management and like that. We need to do this everywhere. At least if you do, you're going to find out you'll be much more, again, I use the word productive loosely because actually you are the fruit bearer. You're not actually producing, but it feels like you're producing. Like when you're having a baby, it feels like you're producing, right? And you actually, with your work, you can actually go ahead and be the producer. Or you can be the flow-through vessel and experience a lot more ease in it It's still hard work, but you've experienced so much more. It's a whole different level of experience than when you're trying to do all the production of it. However, when you use batching to put things together, you will get so much more done in a day. It's just the fact. When you batch things that are like each other together, bam, you just free up so much time. So for example, I only look at my emails a couple times a day. I do not look at my emails every time they come in. And I know some of you are right now ready to turn me off. And you're going to be like, that is not what people expect. People expect you to look at their emails and to reply right away, or to their text messages or whatever. And I'm just going to say to you, you set your own rules about that. It's not what other people expect. It's what you're thinking other people expect. So when we first bought our restaurant, the former manager of the restaurant had a practice of every single night going through the bills and writing out checks. Before she went home at 11 o'clock every night, she would sit down and write out checks for the people she owed money to. Then she would go home and be able to sleep well, because that's what she needed to do. Well, we bought the restaurant and I was like, this is for the birds. And so I just reached out to all those vendors and I said, can I pay you at the end of the week instead of every day? And they're like, sure, that's fine. And then after that, I was like, this is way too often. And I reached out and I said, can I pay you every 2 weeks? Is that okay? Twice a month? Is that okay? Yep, that's fine. And finally, I said to all of them, I said, can I just pay you once a month? And all of them said yes. You know, we have these rules in our head. And the thing is that if I did it every night, when I was doing it every night or every week, it would take 20 to 60 minutes to do it. You have to open the program. You have to get the checks. You have to do the printing. All that takes time, right? And when I did it once a month, I got it all done in less than an hour. Same thing, it took less than half the time and was very convenient for me to just batch it all and do it all at once if I needed to run to the post office once instead of so many times. So all of these things in your life, where can you batch anything? And the more you brainstorm this, the more exciting it'll get, because you'll find that you can batch so many things. I batch my calls. So if I have callbacks to make, I don't make them one by one by one. I just say, this is the chunk of time I'm going to make my callbacks. Definitely batch my emails. So I only look at emails a couple times a day. Meetings, I will block off this time of day for meetings, and I'll have the rest of the day for other things, like for projects or for outreaches or for marketing production or whatever it is. You know, I don't have another word for production yet, even though I know production isn't the word I want to be using. I don't have the other word. So if any of you know what that word is that I need right there, you can just put it in the comments or email me later. I need a different word for production, because I don't actually believe that I produce anymore. I think I just get to be a flow through vessel, but I don't know what that P word is. I like this. I like those words that start with the same letter. Okay. Another thing that I batch is I batch errands. So I don't go running here, home, here, home, here, home, here, home. I batch them so that when I'm out, I do them and I put them in the order that makes the most sense. And then I also use the time while I'm out running around either to listen to podcasts or to talk to somebody on the phone that I usually don't get to. And so batching everything like that. Another thing I batch is my money tasks, which I mentioned before, paying bills. Sometimes that happens, you know, you just have to have a drawer that you put all of those into. And then on the right day, you take it all out and do it. You got to do it sometime, but batch it. All right. Procrastination elimination. I think it's so fascinating that so many of our sessions at this summit are about procrastination. It was really surprising to me how many of our speakers wanted to address that topic. And I know from experience that that means God wants to address that topic. So some of you are here thinking, I know what to do. I just can't get myself to do it. So I'm going to give you my perspective on procrastination. And then I'm going to also encourage you to go to all the other sessions on procrastination, because somebody today is going to give you the word that you need right now to get you to move forward where you haven't been able to move forward. So I understand procrastination to be the intentional blockage by your subconscious mind of an action because you are just not 100% either clear or courageous about going forward. My coaching program is called courage and clarity coaching. Because when you have courage but no clarity, you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off. I mean, you're doing stuff all the time, but you're not really making progress. But when you have clarity and no courage, you can't get yourself to go forward. You're like, I can't go forward. I just am too afraid. I'm too afraid. When you put courage and clarity together, you become like a laser beam. And you're dividing right between the truth of God and the lies of the enemy. And you are making headway in the world for eternal results. So as we think of procrastination, there are some other reasons you may procrastinate, but usually it's going to be because you are uncertain about something. Something just isn't quite settled in your heart or mind about the path forward. And once you understand the path forward, you'll be able to just run. It'll be amazing to you how much energy you have to put towards something once you are clear and have the courage to do it. I'm going to give you three quick examples of procrastination. These aren't really examples, they're really analogies. So the first one is you're driving your car and you're just zipping down a side street or whatever, and you're coming up to a green light, and all of a sudden, as you come near to it, it turns yellow. And so it's that moment when your foot goes back and forth between, you know, at a super fast speed, it goes back and forth between the gas pedal and the brake pedal, trying to decide what to do. It's like this moment of procrastination. You should either step on the gas or slam on the brakes, one of the two. But because you're not 100% sure what to do, your foot vacillates. It procrastinates for just a moment, trying to decide. And then you make a decision and bam, you go all the way to the floor and it's taken care of, right? That's procrastination. It's that moment where you don't know what to do. Another one is a game show. So you're invited to be on a game show. You're the contestant and you get blindfolded and they walk you out to the center of a stage. And they say, now, what the game is over on your right side, you have a basket full of money. And on your left side, you have a basket full of money. And what you get to do is for 60 seconds, we're going to give you a third basket. It's empty. You get to go and collect as much money as you can in 60 seconds. Now, we aren't going to take your blindfold off, but one of these baskets is full of $1 bills and one of them is full of $100 bills. And the time starts now. So what are you going to do? Because you don't know which side of the stage has $1 bills and which side of the stage has $100 bills. So if you are just thinking like reasonably, you would have to divide your time as close to half as you can. So, but because you can't see the clock, you go over and you just start throwing money into your basket. But then you think, oh my goodness, I got to go to the other basket. So you run across the stage and go to the other basket and you start throwing money. Then you're like, oh, I was here a long time. I got to go to the other side. And you go back and forth. Same as the foot by the stoplight. Now, it is procrastination that causes you to not sit at one basket and fill it full before moving to the other basket. Procrastination says it's that point between the baskets. It's that point between, I just don't know which is the best thing for me to do. And so some of you are like, I think I do know what's best for me to do. I just can't get myself to do it. That is courage. So the skydiver jumps out of a plane and he's laying on his back. He's looking, got his arms out to the side. He's looking up at the beautiful blue sky. He's like, this is so awesome. I am so loving this. And I know the earth is coming closer to me underneath, but I'm really terrified to turn over. I'm scared of heights and I'm terrified to turn over and look down. And so he just stays on his back. If he stays on his back too long, he's going to crash. If he will get himself to turn over and look at the facts, he'll be able to pull his ripcord in time and save himself from death. Now, when you are enjoying your fall, you're wasting your time watching TV, playing games, doing anything and everything other than what you're supposed to do, turn around and look at the facts. Because that's where you'll get the courage to move forward. So long as you entertain your brain away from the facts. You will not get yourself to go forward. That is my take on procrastination. And again, when you feel any anxiety or pressure or self-abuse or whatever it is that you feel about procrastination, remember to go up for air through prayer. Just pray without ceasing. Say, God, talk to me about this from your perspective. And one of the most beautiful things of walking with God is that he forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. You don't have to worry that you've run him out of forgiveness. You haven't. You maybe are getting hardened to hearing his voice, which is a problem, but he hasn't run out of forgiveness for you. So don't let the enemy tell you, you know, don't talk to God about it. He's sick of hearing from you. Not at all. God is like the most amazing, amazing father that none of us could have. So I had a great, great dad. I mean, really a great, involved, loving father. And one day I was praying to God and I was comparing God with my father about how loving he was and how available he was. And God's like, Marnie, I am so superior to your father. I was like, right. I was even thinking my good dad could somehow help me know my great, awesome father, God, dad. But God is like the best dad you could ever imagine. Never, ever makes a mistake with your life. Never, ever sets you in a point of danger that he is not right there with you to protect you. So just when you have any kind of anxiety or concern about procrastination or anything, just run straight to Jesus and let him talk to you about it from his perspective. And I even say, just come on and sit on daddy's lap. You know, a lot of times when I'm praying with women, I will just say, hold my hand here. And so a lot of times we're virtual or whatever. And I just say, hold my hand. Let's just toddle right up to the throne of God because of what Jesus did. He tore the veil. When he died on the cross, that veil tore top to bottom. Veils don't tear that way. People tear them from the bottom to the top. But that one tore from the top to the bottom because Jesus had completed the work required on the cross to let us go straight into the Holy of Holies. So we toddle up to the throne of God together. And then I just look at my friend and I say, no, just hop up there, sit on daddy's lap. He wants to talk to you. And this is what we as Christian women, we have the privilege of sitting on daddy's lap. I just invite you to come sit on daddy's lap any time of the day, whether it's about procrastination, whether it's about money, whether it's about relationships, whether it's about anxiety, whatever it is, just come sit on daddy's lap and let him talk to you about it from his perspective because he loves you and he has so much he wants to share with you. So don't just talk to him all the time. Listen too. All right. Number 9, I want to talk a little bit more about text systems. So we talked about systematizing everything from calendars to emails and batching things. Now I want to talk to you about a couple of my favorite text systems that really saved me, really helped me get a lot more done in the day and in the ministries and businesses. So one of them is a CRM, which is a customer relationship management system. And I use Nimble, and you can get the link for that below. But Nimble is just this wonderful CRM that allows me to put in a person's name and like their email address and maybe their website address. And then it finds me their LinkedIn and it finds me their photo and maybe their Facebook and Twitter. And then it keeps track of everything, every email I send them through my own Gmail. It keeps track of that. It keeps track of everything we do with each other at any of those social sites. I can put something called deals in there. So like if it's a podcaster who wants to have me on their show, I put that in as a deal. Like this is an outstanding situation that I want to see come to closure. We can do workflows in there, which is like when I get a new speaker at womenspeakers.com, I'll put her in new speaker. And then we make sure that we follow back up with her in a short period of time and make sure she's doing okay. So whatever you need to do, if you work with a lot of people and like me, thousands, you know, if you work with a lot of people, it is helpful to have a CRM where everything's contained in one place. And Nimble is not only one of the best out there, but they are very reasonably priced. So check them out if you need a systematized way to keep track of your contacts. Another one is autoresponders. So autoresponders are what you set up after a person. For example, if you take my freebie below, you're going to add your name and your email address to my website autoresponder, and you're going to get your free gift. And then the autoresponder is going to follow up with you after a short period of time. Make sure you got it. Make sure if you have any questions, you know where to go, and then let you know how to go forward with me if you want to have more involvement in my life or my ministry. Autoresponders help you again to connect with many, many people at a level you just simply couldn't do one-on-one. I mean, we only have so much bandwidth. And so it allows us to systematize the follow-up and then to be able to step into any kind of call that God puts on my heart to reach out individually to someone is over and above that. But at least I know that they know I care, that I took the time to follow up with them. Even if it was automated, I took that time to make sure that they were getting what they needed to get, know how to go forward if they want to. And then StreamYard is another one that I use, a system that I use. And that is a platform where I can, well, for example, I'm recording this program on StreamYard. And I can also air it directly out to LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, everything all at once. And so it's just such an easy way to get the message that I want to share, whether it's a training program like this or whether it's just a little greeting. You know, I can get it out to everybody at all my socials all at once and have it taken care of like that. So, I mean, once you start doing this where you're using tech to systematize your technology side of things, again, your life is just going to get easier and it's going to be more manageable. And frankly, if you don't have these systems set up in place, God simply can't grow your ministry bigger than what you can handle without systems. That's the bottom line. I mean, if you got invited to go on to Good Morning America and you didn't have a way to follow up with people, it would be a flash in the pan and then it would be over. Whereas if you had systems in place, and you could offer them a free gift at your website and be able to capture their names and emails so that you could have a relationship with them going forward after they saw you and loved you on Good Morning America, then you would have some, I mean, you would be able to grow from there. The systems are not opposed to God. In fact, the whole world is a great big gigantic system. I love to teach about the laws that God has built into the world, everything from gravity to rhythm, like the tide goes out, the tide comes in, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. I mean, these things are built into the world. They are systematized so that every day, so that in every way, the world is self-perpetuating basically itself based on the systems that God set in place. And then he gets involved individually directly as he chooses. But the systems are doing the majority of this, the ongoing everyday functioning, the spinning of the earth, the functioning, you know, I mean, our bodies are so amazing how, you know, 3 billion base pair of DNA different in you than in me. And yet they're functioning. It's just so amazing. The systems are incredible. So don't rule out systems as something that's unspiritual or whatever. God thought of systems first. And then we learn to use systems that apply to our lives, our ministry, our callings like that. We learn to use them with excellence for God's glory. All right, last one. Ooh, and this is my secret sauce. This is so fun. I just learned this last fall, and I'd never thought of it before. But last fall, I learned how to do 12-day work weeks, where you take a 5-day work week, and I actually took mine down to 4, because right in the middle of my work week, somewhere Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I take my mini retreat. And so I clear time there to do that. So I took mine down to 4-day work week, and I divided those days into 3 days each. Like, what are you talking about? So, you know how in the morning you get up and you have a routine, and in the morning you do this routine almost like you almost don't have to plug your brain in. You just get up and you do what you do. Okay. So for me, before I'm even opening my eyes, I'm saying, good morning, Daddy. And I'm launching into a personalized version of the Lord's Prayer. Then I'm getting up. I'm going into the restroom. I am putting on my gym clothes. I am brushing my teeth, then out I go to the elliptical and I do my prayers and my morning routine on the elliptical as I'm running out there. Then I come back in and I take a shower. And as I'm showering, I'm putting on my spiritual armor. You know, I'm taking up my shield of faith and putting on my helmet of salvation. Same way as then I'm getting dressed, I'm putting on my spiritual armor at the same time as I'm getting dressed. Then I'm putting on my makeup, then I'm doing my hair, then I'm going to my computer and I'm doing, you know, we have these morning routines that are so structured that you don't really think about them anymore. They're just part of your life. Well, what I understood last fall, God asked me to, I was already doing everything that I normally do. And I was speaking multiple times and I was preparing for the January summit that had 70 speakers. And I was also going to have the holidays in the middle there. And then he asked me in November to write and publish a book by January 17th. And I didn't know who it was for and I didn't know what it was going to be about. And it took me 10 days to say yes to that book, to write that book, which came out on January. January 23, the book came out, Spiritual Growth. And you can check that out. It's amazing. It's an amazing book, especially to share with your family members and friends who don't know Jesus, have ruled him out for whatever reason, or are antagonistic about him. So having said yes to do this project in an incredibly, ridiculously small amount of time, I was kind of freaking out about time. That those 10 days, I was not only freaking out about the topic, like, how am I going to write this book that I don't know what to say? And I don't know who's going to read it, and how am I going to fit it into my schedule? So as God just worked me through that, he just taught me this 12-day work week where I would get up in the morning and the first 4 hours of the morning, and typically I'm up by 5:30, maybe latest 4:30, sometimes 4, because I have many of my team members are around the world. And so I usually check with them in early in my morning is their afternoon. So I'm usually up very early. So the first 3 to 4 hours of the morning were my first day. And then I had a little pause, and then I would start my second day. And then I had a little pause, and then I would start my third day. And by doing that, I was the productivity again. I hate that word, but I don't have the better word. Again, if you have my word, you send me my word. So the amount of work that God was flowing through my life was just unbelievably off the charts. It was just incredible how much I was getting done every day, truly supernatural. And one of the things that God gave me to be able to pump out that much stuff so fast was this, this 12-day work week. So I have gone back to now just doing a 1 or 2 day per day work week. I don't do 3 right now. It's not necessary. And most days it's not necessary for me to do 2. But right now, like today, I did 2. I did a morning and then I did an afternoon. And what you do then is you actually create a routine that you do when you get online or whatever it is you do for work. You say, okay, I'm just clocking in right now, or I'm just logging in right now, or I'm just starting my day right now. What are you going to do at the beginning of your day? That's your super efficient way to start your day. This great way to start your day. Do it again in the middle of the day, and you will find that your brain resets to the top of the day's level of productivity, to the top of the day's level of getting stuff done. You have a lot of energy when your brain is fresh in the morning, if you've been rested and if you have a morning routine that's working for you. One of the things I have been enjoying doing lately is I've been enjoying doing 3 columns. So a lot of times we spend time being thankful every day, right? Praising God for different things and being thankful. And last year I wrote the book, 7-Day Praise Challenge. And that was really helpful for me to realize, wow, I'm not praising nearly enough. And so what I do now is I have a 3-column section that I do to start my day, either once, twice, or 3 times a day, depending on where I'm at in my level of intensity of deadlines. As I start my day, I always just do this 3-column thing. On the left, I say what I'm thankful for. In the middle, I say what I praise God for. And on the right, I say how I'm going to worship him right now, how I'm worshiping him right now. And so on the left column, you can grab, that's the freebie. Just grab this little fun exercise that you can do every day. You can grab that at marnie.com. But on the left side, I do things I'm thankful for. Might include my home, my husband, my children, my health, my computer, you know, whatever it is, air to breathe, freedom, you know, just all these things. I just list them down as fast as I can, everything I can think of right then that I'm thankful for. In the second column, I just, as quick again as I can, I just list down the things I want to praise God for: his omnipresence, his omniscience, his beauty, his creation, his love, his tender care, his forgiveness. I just list them all down the middle column as fast as I can. These are character qualities of God. And then on the right side, I list down the ways I want to worship him today with my whole heart, with my mind, with my eyes, with my ears, with my mouth, with my hands, with my feet, out and about, on the computer. I want to worship you through song. I want to celebrate you. I want to just be praising you all day long. I want to send a letter of love to somebody. How am I going to worship God today? I just write down everything I can think of. And when I do a two-day workday, I do that again at the break. And if I do a three-day, I do it again at the break. It resets my brain to top of day type of a mentality. And as I begin the next project after that, I'm full of that fresh energy in the morning. So that is my secret sauce, new strategy for you in 2023. I hope you love it. I hope you have so much fun at the rest of the summit. Oh my goodness, we're just beginning and you are in for some fun. So these gals that are here to share with you, these are goal getters and you are going to just love what they have to share. And you can also still invite friends to participate. And everything here live is free if you want to get a copy of all of the sessions so you can listen again later or share them around with your friends. Just go ahead and get the all access pass. If you are a member at Marnie.com, you get a free all access pass. So don't buy one. Go over to Marnie.com, log in, and you will just go to the summit page and boom, you get the coupon code. Please don't share that code with others who aren't members, but for members of Marnie.com, you are welcome to do that. And if you need a speaker for an upcoming event, I encourage you to check out all of the speakers at womenspeakers.com. There's over 1,300 of us over there ready and willing to come share God's heart with your women at your women's events coming up in 2023 and beyond. So you can find gals over there from every denomination, every experience level, every fee range. No matter what you're looking for, you can search by topic or by name or by location. You'll find a speaker over there for your upcoming event. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.